for that very poetic welcome. God has opened the door in 2024, so let us explore. She does that at home all the time, like all the time. It just is natural. She doesn't need any prep time to do that. God has gifted my wife with that ability to put words together. So we want to welcome all of you, especially if you're visiting here. If this is your maybe second time coming to church, if you visited us for Easter, it's really great to have you here. Today we're going to continue our Bible study in Psalm 119. We have been studying the entire psalm for the year, and we're almost at the end. I hope that you've found those of you who have participated, I hope that you've found the lessons beneficial. We plan to wrap up the series this month and then move on to another topic next month. You may have heard that our elder, Al Baker, came right here at the school for our midweek, and Al announced that Robin and I will be going on sabbatical beginning in June all the way through August, so we come back in September. And I just wanted to, Robin and I wanted to express our gratitude to the elders and the leadership of the New York City Church of Christ for giving us that opportunity. It's much needed. And most importantly, we're very grateful for those of you that have supported, expressed your well wishes and your prayers. Yesterday we had a workshop. And we were working on our plan of what's going to happen while we're gone. Well, we have a great plan. We nailed down some of what I call the big ticket items. But most importantly, I think greater than the plan is we have a great group of people who are going to be executing that plan. So please keep us in your prayers. Today I want to dive right into our study. Psalm 119, the verses that we're going to be looking at are verses 129 to 144. It reads, "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant, and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. You are righteous, Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. Your statutes are always righteous. Give me understanding, that I may live." Amen. 16 verses. Each verse, we can actually spend an entire message just working on all 16 verses. But that would take us quite some time. Today, I want us to consider two important ideas that are communicated in these verses that we just read. I just want us to focus on two important ideas. And the first idea is that we recognize our great need for personal instruction on spiritual matters. That we recognize our great need for personal instruction on spiritual matters. That's the first idea. The second idea I want to present today is that authentic love for God's word will strain the human body. Authentic love for God's word will strain the human body. And this caught Uriel's attention, and he wants an explanation right now. But Uriel, you're going to have to wait, my brother. You're going to have to wait. I want to talk about the first one, that we recognize our great need for personal instruction on spiritual matters. Psalm 119, verse 30 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. What comes to mind when you think about the word unfolding? The image that is captured by that word for me is a flower that unfolds. My mother, as I shared with you many times, my mother was very much into flowers. So I was always around flowers as a young boy growing up. And what was really interesting is that in the mornings, some of these flowers would be just compressed. But then over a period of time, as the sun rose, say it ain't so. Is that an alarm? Like, do we have to evacuate? Or is it time for lunch? Is it break time? So over the course of the morning, as the sun rises, the petals of the flower open up and unfold. And you get to see just the magnificent beauty of God's creation. And I used to see that morning after morning, because in my household, my mother, there was a plant somewhere. What does this mean? I believe that it means that only when the Word of God is fully explained can people really understand Him and be captivated by His wisdom. Only when the Word of God is fully explained can we truly see the Lord. Truth be told, spiritual ideas can be confusing. You hear something from somebody and it's confusing. You go online, somebody says something, it's completely different from what somebody else says. You read one part of the scriptures and you go, what does that mean for me? And if you're anything like me, once you're confused, you just don't have time for it. I want us to consider the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Many of us are familiar with the story The Holy Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The Ethiopian eunuch was a very spiritual man. He actually traveled to Jerusalem to worship God. He actually owned his own copy of the scroll of Isaiah, which in that time was pretty significant. It is not that the eunuch did not understand the words in the scroll. He understood the words that he was reading, just as any one of us can understand the words that are in the scriptures. The Ethiopian eunuch had even valued the word of God because he was reading it out loud. Can you imagine being on the E train and you just cracked open the Gospel of John and started reading it out loud? Have you ever done that? No. But it wasn't that he couldn't understand what was written. The issue with the eunuch is he could not comprehend the message. It made no sense to him. And so Philip asked an appropriate question. Do you understand? In other words, has this word of God unfolded in your mind? And he says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? Brothers and sisters, the Ethiopian eunuch reveals a problem that many, many people here in the United States are going through. Because there are many people who grew up going to church, who grew up hearing the words of God being spoken, but they are barely able to grasp the concepts being presented. Why? Because no one has explained it to them. And you can sit in a setting like this with a large number of people, and you can understand the words coming out of my mouth. You can actually read the text on the screen, but there may still be something blocking your understanding. You need personal instruction. And unless you receive that personal instruction, you will forever remain in the condition of the Ethiopian eunuch before he met Philip. Reading, but not understanding. And until you recognize your desperate need for personal instruction, you will remain in darkness. Imagine if you were drowning. Imagine that. Imagine if all of us were drowning. And I sat up here on this podium and I said, well, this is how you save yourself. What value would telling you how to save yourself be when you're drowning? What value would trying to teach you verbally of how to tread water be for you when you're actually drowning? What you need is someone who is going to dive in and save you personally. That is what is needed. And until you experience that, the Word of God just remains a closed petal. And it will never unfold. And so my encouragement to you is to consider if God's Word has unfolded in your mind. Has it? You see, if until you understand it, you cannot believe it. But if you understand it, then you can believe it. I want to also let you know that you do have some agency in this matter. You have some agency in this matter. Because back in the text that we just read, it says the eunuch invited Philip to come on up. Did you catch that? Let me go back. It says in verse 31, so he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch said, come into my space and teach me. Why? Because he recognized his desperate need for understanding. Who are you going to invite into your personal space and say, can you help me understand the word? There are plenty of people right here who will willingly accept that invitation. But you must exercise your agency. Amen? And now for what Uriel has been waiting for. Authentic love for God's word takes a toll, a strain on the human body. There are three verses that led me to this conclusion as I was preparing for this message. Here they are. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. That's in verse 131. Verse 136, streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. And verse 139, my zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. These three verses have led me to the conclusion that authentic faith in God's word will put a strain on the human body. Who here owns a dog or has experience with a dog, right? Okay. When I was younger, we had a number of dogs in my family. And when I think about panting, I remember my dog. Have you ever heard a dog pant? Right? Did I do okay for Ed? Yeah. And some dogs, when they pant, they salivate like this dog in the image here. There's stuff coming out their mouth, and they are breathing heavily. They are in some distress for oxygen. Hence the reason why the dog pants. The psalmist says, I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. The psalmist is describing a condition of desperation that affects him physically. He realizes his own need for the word of God, and he pants for it. I can't wait to get into my word. Clear the path so I can hear from my God. He is uncomfortable when his spiritual needs are not met. He does not have an indifferent attitude towards the word of God. Have you experienced this? Have you ever panted for the word of God? Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Now, in our culture, men aren't supposed to cry. Growing up, I was told when I cried that I'm a sissy. I need to toughen up, leave the crying for the women. I'm just telling you what I was told. This psalmist, he says, streams of tears are flowing from my eyes. So why is he crying? Why do we cry? We cry when we are grieving, or we are experiencing some emotional distress. Crying involves emotional engagement. You feeling me? When New England Patriots lose, I'm fired up. When the Steelers lose, I go into a dark place. Why? I am emotionally engaged with the Pittsburgh Steelers. In fact, I had a Pittsburgh Steeler clip on my jacket, and I said, you know, maybe I shouldn't bring it in today. But I just never took it off the last time I wore it. There is an emotional burden that godly men and women must be willing to carry. There's an emotional burden that the Word of God places on us. And if we are afraid of that, if we are unwilling to carry that burden, then we remain far off from God's Word. Jesus cried. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Hebrews 5:7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. It appears to me as if Jesus himself shed tears. Every day was not, oh, happy day for Jesus. So this idea that we can remain emotionally aloof from the Word of God is a false idea. The Word of God will take its toll on our body and our minds and our emotions. Psalm 119 verse 139 says, "My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words." My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. The Hebrew definition for zeal means to boil with heat. To boil with heat. When you put that kettle on, it reaches its boiling point. There's a whistle. Woo! Wakes the whole house. The Greek definition for zeal, it signifies a vehement intensity of emotion. Zeal. It also implies energetic activity. Energetic activity. You can't remain on the couch all the time if you are immersed in God's word. God's word will tell you, get up and do something. Jesus was known for his zeal. John 2, verse 13 to 17. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem in the temple courts. He found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. Look at how he responded. He made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." When his disciples saw that, they remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." This was a significant event that took place. Imagine one man clearing Green Acres Mall. And if the money changers had a Twitter account, do you think that Jesus would have been winning friends and influencing people? What would the New York Times write about this event? That some lunatic fringe guy got crazy and was on a rampage. What I see is intensity. What I see is a man boiling with heat. What I see is a man with energetic activity. Do you see that in Jesus? Zeal for your house will consume me. Zeal is an attribute of true followers of Christ. Romans 12:11, Paul says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Never. You come to worship Jesus today, never be lacking in zeal. You go, "Oh, Lord, that's not how I felt this morning when I came here." And what does that say? Well, that means that sometimes our zeal can be up and then our zeal can be down. That's just because we're human beings. Some of us had a bad day, a bad morning. Some of us have been having a bad year. And that happens, you know. Maybe you had an argument with your spouse this morning on your way here. You know, all right, you zeal for my house. You know, can someone get my husband in gear here? Look, things can happen. The issue is not that things happen, but I think what the Apostle Paul is saying is that we do have some agency to address our lack of zeal. That's what I hear him saying. He says, look, you know, we can prop ourselves up. We can get back in the game. We're going to get knocked out from time to time, but we can always get up and get back in the game. Amen? So the Apostle Paul is saying, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That being said, we have got to understand that the Holy Spirit expresses his disgust for Christians who are comfortable with being spiritually lukewarm. The Holy Spirit is just disgusted with a Christian who is comfortable with being lukewarm. Here it is, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write these words. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Isn't that disgusting? It's in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is disgusted with people who say, I'm following Jesus, but they choose to remain lukewarm. I'm not going to be cold. I'm not going to be like the heathen. I'm going to come to church, but I am not going to be hot. I just want to stay right here, this area of comfort, where nobody makes any demands of me, where nobody expects anything of me. I'm just in my world, lukewarm. You may derive some emotional or physical comfort from the condition of being lukewarm, but do not be deceived. To remain in a condition of lukewarmness, you are bringing out the disgust of the Holy Spirit. You will not fare well. Are you hearing me, brothers and sisters? You will not fare well if you remain indefinitely lukewarm. We've got to worship God with our bodies. You feeling me? And that's why we're saying, let's get to church. Let's come back to church. Let's engage. Let's meet. Let's be involved in Bible studies. Let's read our Bibles. Let's help one another. But this idea that it's okay to be lukewarm does not come from the Holy Spirit. And we all have to reflect personally. We all have to ask ourselves, what is extinguishing my zeal for God? What is it? What is it? I don't know. I know for me, sometimes I could just get distracted. I don't know. What is it for you? But unless I deal with whatever it is that is extinguishing my zeal for God, I will fall into a deadly trap of being lukewarm. That is not God's will for those who claim to be his followers. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and the Holy Spirit, trust me, is zealous for the Lord. And it's up to us to listen to the Holy Spirit and get back to a place where we have zeal, that we rekindle our zeal, and that we can be at that point where we are boiling once again for the Lord. Amen? Amen. In closing, I want to, we're going to have share the communion, and if you do not have a cup with this utensil, with the fruit of the vine and the wafer, please raise your hand. We're gonna have communion at this time, and the passage that I'd like to share with you in preparation for the communion is in Mark 10, verse 41 to 45. It says, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. What had happened prior to this is that James and John's mother wanted them to be assigned a special place with Jesus. And the other apostles, they heard that their mother had made this request. And I think they got a little upset because they became indignant that James and John wanted this seat of honor with Jesus. And it says in verse 42 that Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in that verse, verse 45, Jesus articulated what he was going to do on the cross. It says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. It says, and to give his life as a ransom. Now, what is a ransom? A ransom is a payment in exchange for someone's freedom. And Jesus' conviction about salvation, his belief about people's spiritual condition, took a toll on his body. We looked at that last week. Jesus' offer to pay our ransom took a toll on his body. And I'm here to tell you that it wasn't easy for Jesus to offer his body like that. But if we say we're following Jesus, that's what we say. That's what we claim, right? I'm following Jesus. Okay. Well, don't you have to offer your body too? Don't you? So this idea that I could just sit back and just watch everybody do stuff, and that does not come from the Bible. So when we take this communion today, the question you have to reflect on is, what is extinguishing my zeal? If I'm so grateful for Jesus offering his body, what is holding me back from offering mine for his service? Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your love and your sacrifice. We know you offered your body as a ransom. Father, help us to be grateful and thankful for your blessings and everything that you've done for us. As we take this bread that represents your body and the fruit of the vine that represents your blood, God, help us to fan into flame the gift that the Holy Spirit has given us, so that we too may fall in your path of zeal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.